Good afternoon. It is Monday afternoon, 12:02, a little dark and dank and rainy, but the Patriots are playing tonight, so there's that. I'm Eric Scott. Thank you for listening. Usually in this slot, it's Wolfboro Police Chief Dean Rundo. He is on a day off today, and we've managed to find some very great people to fill in for him, as it were. Mal Cook is here. Mal has been with us before. As part of the Rotary Club and as part of the Life Ministries Food Pantry, which is what we're talking about today. And I want to introduce Diana Scott, no relation. She's the treasurer of the Life Ministries Food Pantry. Thank you to you both for coming. I appreciate it today.
Thank you.
It was great. Thank you for having us.
How long has the food pantry been around?
Since 1985, actually.
What started it? If anybody remembers back that far.
Well, I think there were a bunch of ladies from seven churches, and they just decided that they wanted to help the people in the community and start raising money for food for the food pantry and our food pantry here in Wolfboro. Mm-hmm. So that's how it started, with a bunch of ladies, and they wanted to help people in need.
Has anybody ever said to you, you guys are in... I mean, more towns than just Wolfboro, of course.
Right.
But are you surprised by some of the need in towns like Wolfboro or Moultonboro or, you know?
Well, you know, everybody has considered Wolfboro to be a very wealthy town, but right. There are a lot of people
in... Can you
bring
that a little closer for you?
Sure.
Please?
There are a lot of people in need.
Thank you.
You would be surprised how many are here. And the whole purpose for us is to help those. I mean, there are a lot of elderly people who, you know, back when, and I'm one of them, mm-hmm. Being 87, who probably just made minimum wage. And so they never received huge salaries or income. And so we help them out, too. Everything is, I'm no longer there at Life Ministries, but... I was there for 7 years, and we always make sure that they qualify as far as federal standards are concerned also.
Right. I've been involved. We moved here just 5 years ago, and I became involved with the pantry 4 years ago. And I was really surprised at the need. And, you know, Mel mentioned the elderly, and what I have found to be so shocking is how many people over 60 are raising their grandchildren or right. great-grandchildren mm-hmm. because, you know, their children have, you know, gotten involved with drugs or whatever might have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, these people who, I mean, they barely had enough to survive on their own with their retirement savings, now are taking care of children. And that... You know, I'd say that, and the number of people who've had serious illnesses who, you know, I mean, they had been prudent, they had saved, but their savings got wiped out because of these illnesses. I mean, it was just shocking to me. And we'll have people come into the pantry who say, never in my wildest dreams did I expect to have to go to a food pantry. I used to be like you. I used to be the person that was helping people, and then this happened or that happened, and, you know, now I find myself needing assistance. I mean, it's very humbling.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people. I can think of one family that I actually, they had adopted seven boys, and
wow.
And the father fell off a ladder and broke his back, and so obviously there was no income coming in, and I happened to have known a lady, and I said, dear, you need to go down to the food pantry. We need to be able to help you. Don't let your pride get in the way of this, you know. And so we've been able to support that family for a long time. And one of the greatest things is the oldest son went into the Air Force, mm-hmm. and he saved all his money so he could fly his mother and his dad over to see him in Japan. I mean, and then he sends money back to his parents, and it's amazing. So, and the need is here in this town, but also in, You know, I think, what, 16 or 18 communities that we serve. And I'll tell you, it's just a wonderful experience doing it, you know.
How has the pandemic affected demand?
That's really interesting. We thought that we would see our numbers skyrocket.
Right.
And because of all the money people were getting from the government, we actually found the usage slipping because people, to our clients' credits, they'll say, I don't want to take food that somebody else needs. So they were, I would say to them, look, you use that money that you're getting from the government for, you know, pay down your mortgage, pay down your bills, pay for your car, whatever it might be. And they said, well, no, I hate to take food when, you know, when other people might need it. So we saw, surprisingly, about a 30% decline in the food need. All of a sudden, back in September, when the money was no longer coming from the government, we have seen a huge increase in the number of people coming to the pantry. And I would say in the month of November, I say conservatively, we had 12 to 15 new clients come in, families come in that, geez, you know, I really hate to ask for help and I won't take much. And it's like, we're here to help you help yourselves. We are not a handout, we're a handout. We're here to help you. We provide 40% of the weekly food needs. Our clients are responsible for the other 60%. And, you know, it's working really well. It's working really, really well.
How do you work with the clients directly?
Yes.
Okay. What is the unifying thread that you see among them? Is there something that ties them all together? I mean, besides the need, which,
right,
you know.
Right. So I would say that 98% of them are really good people.
Okay.
Okay. And I see that because they help each other. They will, you know, it's kind of too bad now because with the pandemic, we're having it more on a drive-through basis. It used to be that they would come into the pantry and they would sit, and that was great because they had a chance to get to know each other. But even now, you know, people will get out of the car, and we have an area where there's food that has been donated that we can't put on our shelves, but people can take it. And so they'll stand and talk there. And one of the I guess probably one of the best illustrations I have is there is a woman who, she has to be 82, 84 years old.
And she's young.
Yes, she is.
To me.
She's a very feisty lady. She has a husband who is bedridden, and she is taking care of her grandson. And she would always come into the pantry until she had a medical issue and she was afraid to drive any longer. One of the other clients said, where is so-and-so? And I said, well, she can't drive right now. And he said, well, I'll give her a call. And what he every time now, he will call her, get her order. He'll come pick his order up, pick her order up, and take it up to her. And he also then will sit down and talk with her because, you know, she's lonely. She's very outgoing, and it's really hard for her to be, you know, in the house as much as she is now. But
right.
But that's just one example of how these are good people.
And they really care for one
another.
Yeah,
they really do.
I mean, they do care for one another.
And
if one is ill, she'll say, my friend is ill. And the lady will call in and we ask her, what would you like this week? And then the other person delivers it to her. So, there is a common thread. And not just the need, it's the friendship, the fellowship they come on Wednesdays and see one another. So, so.
And I think the pantry, in addition to providing food to exist, you get to know the clients, and there's food for the soul, because we had one of our clients who lived alone was diagnosed with cancer. And he would come in, and every time he would come in, we'd talk about where things were going, what was happening. And I had to be away one week, and he said, well, tell Diana, you know, this.
Right.
Because it was so important that they have a connection with somebody. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, you really, it's so gratifying to be there. You know, and this man, I told him, he sadly passed away, but he, you know, he said, you all have done so much for me. And I said, you know, you're not the only one. He did a lot for us, too, in helping us, mm-hmm. you know, appreciate
right.
what people are going through.
And I'll run into the clients down at Hannaford's or somewhere downtown, and it's always a thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much for what you've done for us.
Right.
I mean, they are so grateful, and they're just wonderful people.
Yep.
I mean, that I used to go down every Tuesday to Manchester. When we started, there were two of us had small trucks, and the people down at the food bank, I mean, they didn't think we'd make it back to Wolfboro. We were out, the back ends of our trucks were so filled high, you know, and they'd say, I don't think you're going to make it back there safely, but we always did. And but fortunately, because of the holiday food basket and Rotary's ability to help these people out, we have they're now able to have a nice box truck. And they can go down there. We look back and say, boy, we wish we had that,
right?
You know, so every Tuesday we would go down, and then every Wednesday we're there handing it out to the people.
Let's talk about that for a minute. That there's, and this is something that I've just learned very, very recently, is this kind of a hierarchy, as it were, of food banks. And when you mentioned the New Hampshire Food Bank, that's like the food bank that other food banks go to.
Food pantries
go to the food bank.
Yeah, we're a pantry, and we deal directly with clients. The food bank gets surplus food, and they buy, I guess, some things at bulk rates, and then they're like our supermarket. We go there, and we buy food from them. I'm the treasurer. I was looking at numbers today. We're paying something like 8 cents on the dollar to buy food from them, which is fantastic. Now, we can't buy everything from them, but we can get a lot of canned goods and box goods from them.
And it's not only the food pantry. Right. Also, Kingswood Youth Center, for instance, they have a lot of young people that go in there after school.
Right.
And so they go down there and they buy also from the New Hampshire Food Bank. They're able to make sure those kids have a meal every night and every day. So, and also Life Ministries, when the children are on vacation or during the summertime, rather than they double up basically every week to make sure there's peanut butter sandwiches.
Right, we cover the meals that they would have gotten in school or in their after-school program, so that, you know, the children, our concern is making sure children have enough to eat.
Right.
We just got through Thanksgiving. Do you have an idea of how many meals went out the door?
Well, I can tell you that, I just did the numbers. We had 160 turkey. We put together a turkey basket, if you will. It's a turkey, you know, potatoes, everything you need to make a Thanksgiving dinner. We gave 160 of those away, which would have felt, and then we gave some vouchers as well. So, I mean, we have 175 families in the area who were able to celebrate Thanksgiving with the turkey and all the trimmings because of the generosity of the community in supporting the food pantry.
And this, the 175 families is throughout the area that you guys cover.
Right, right.
Which is, for those of you who may not know.
So we have 30% of our clients come from Wolfboro, 25% are from Ossipee, 9% from Tuftonboro, 5% from Alton, 2% sadly are homeless, and the other 29% come from varying areas. We have a number of people coming from Ossipee, Farmington. If somebody comes to our pantry, we don't turn them away as long as they qualify, and we ascertain that they are not going to another pantry. Our one rule is there is no double dipping. You know, we are known for being a very caring and I would say generous food pantry, and we want to be that way, but we also don't want to be taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. So we can check with other pantries. We know where people live, obviously. So we can say, we just want to confirm that so-and-so isn't getting food from your pantry. And surprisingly, clients will tell us, they'll say, so-and-so was at this other pantry. And then we'll talk to the person and say, you know, we understand you were at this other pantry. Is that the case? And if it is, you need to understand you have to make a choice. You know, we're happy to provide you with food, but not if you're going to another pantry. Because, again, we don't want this to be about a handout. We want to help people help themselves.
Right. How long does the average client stay with you? I assume the people kind of come in and out.
They do.
The elderly, right, are basically with us, forever.
Right.
I mean, year after year, they're getting, as the cost of living goes up. For instance, when I was collecting Social Security, we went 5 or 6 years without any increase whatsoever, but their costs went up. So the elderly probably will just continue to be with us. That's just the way it is. I mean, so
the younger people,
if they get a job, I've seen them leave.
Me too. I would say that many of them are with us a couple of years. I can think of a few examples. They've come in, they needed help, they get on their feet, they have jobs when they're coming to us. They're just not making enough to pay all their bills. And they get themselves, I've been really impressed with how hard the significant majority of them work. And so they can no longer, ask for assistance, and they're taking care of themselves. And I see them, you'll see them in town or at the grocery store, and it's just great. You know their children, and they'll update you, and they're so proud that they were able to lift themselves up and take care of themselves. But they really appreciated the helping hand they had getting there.
I know this is radio, and just for the benefit of you listening, I can see it on our guests, both of our guests' face, how much they really enjoy working with the food pantry. It's kind of gratifying to see that. Where we're talking with Mal Cook and Diana Scott, both with the Life Ministries Food Pantry, and it's quite a lot of work you guys do. Are you surprised by the fact that the need is still, well, let's put it another way. Is the need growing, or is the need kind of steadied out?
I'd say as the government has cut off a lot of the funds, the need will start growing again. As Diana said earlier, when they were getting funds for the government, then they didn't come to the food pantry. I was amazed because I was, the Rotary started this, I think, about 15 years ago, if I remember. And we were getting maybe $6,000-$7,000 a year out of, from able to raise during the week we had this holiday food basket. And when I was president back in 2010-11, I thought I was doing a great job because I hit like $28,000. Well, the president after me came in and hit $35,000. And I think over the time period that we've been involved, it's total up over $750,000. And the generosity of the people, for instance, there's a family that they put out a lemonade stand on the 4th of July parade. And the family comes in, the young man and the grandchildren of the people that hold it, and they give us all the funds that they've raised during the parade. Right. I mean, the generosity. There's a group up at the high school, Knights Against Hunger, and there were a bunch of them there. They did not want to know who the people were that was going to get the food that they picked up, and they didn't want them to know who they were. So they arranged for administrators at the school to they put the bags together, but they knew there was a need there in the high school. And they're a great organization. They started on their own. They went out and raised $5,000. And then they came to Life Ministries Food Pantry and said, could you help us out? Could you buy the food and help save the money? And we said, sure, we'd be more than happy to do that. So part of the pickup each week is if they need certain things, the food Life Ministries will pick it up for them, take it to the high school, and again, then they distribute it there. But the amazing thing was they did not want whoever got the food to know who they were, and they didn't want them to know who they were either.
Right.
So it was started by a lady that teaches government up there. And it was just fantastic. And to have these young people come in and just tell you this story, I mean, it was great, just great.
We had... It was so sweet. A couple weeks ago, children from Crescent Lake School came down to the pantry with their wagons just filled with canned goods and boxed goods that they had collected, you know, and brought down to the pantry. And I think at the end of this week, I think the Carpenter School children are going to come down to Verani and and drop off the food they've collected, which is great when you see young children.
Well, that was a great thing when we were doing this from the insurance company, and they would come down, and they loved it. I mean, last time I was there, I think they had over 1,400 cans of food.
Yep.
You know, these little tykes coming in, you know, and they they just wanted to help those in need.
Right. The Boy Scouts did the same thing.
Right.
You know, which... I mean, that's what's so great is everybody is happy to pitch in. And if I could just, I don't want to take too much time, but...
No, we have plenty.
One thing I wanted to mention that was just amazing to me is when the pandemic hit, you know, when all of a sudden everything shut down, in 1 month, the amount of money... that our community gave to the pantry, it was astounding. And there was not one request for money. It was just people saying, I want to do something. Here is X amount of money. It was incredible. It was incredible. It was like a year's budget worth of money that we got without asking because the community cares.
That's fascinating.
It was tremendous. It was tremendous.
I've been selling, Rotary has Christmas tree sales up at the museum up across from the hospital. And we had Cub Scouts there this weekend helping us out.
Oh.
And it was amazing to watch these. There was one young boy, and he had the sales pitch down. He said, I'm the salesman. He couldn't have been more than 10 or 11 years old. And he said, now these trees are $60, and this is a balsam, and it really smells nice. The fragrance is wonderful, and these over here are Fraser trees. They last a little bit longer. But he, I mean, and so I mean, that's a great thing about the community, right, you said.
Right. And they're just helping raise money to help people.
I mean,
might as well finish your plug. When is the next time somebody can get a tree?
Well, I'll tell you, we started with 350 trees the day after Thanksgiving. We're down to 65.
Wow.
So we will probably be out by next Saturday, I would say, for sure.
So you're not open I've been doing until Thursday, it, right?
No, Monday to Thursday. We're open on Thursday.
Right.
But we take a few days off ourselves. But it's all the monies that we raise go to the high school. Last year, we gave out $14,000 scholarships to the young people at Kingswood, and we give one to Brewster. But it's not only the college kids. If somebody's in the vocational school and they want to start a landscape business, we'll give them $1,000 to start their tools right then and there. a couple of years ago, we had twin girls, just very short little things. They had both won the state championship in welding.
Championship for that?
There's a championship. One was in artistic welding. And the other was in standard welding, and we gave them each $1,000. They're now going to community college up in Gorham. I get a update on them every once in a while. Straight A students out of Gorham.
That's great.
We've had some fantastic stories, so we really try to help the young people in the vocational school also.
Do you find that the, a lot of different organizations will raise food for local food pantries. Is it hard for you to stay in that network to make sure that you benefit from that?
Oh my heavens. No, honestly. People will call us up and say, can we come donate? And we actually have to be careful about food that we accept from donations, because we have to go through and make sure food hasn't been expired the food hasn't expired. I talked about the Crescent Lake School children. I mean, they brought down 1,851 food items, which is great, but it's a huge amount of work, because then we have to go through and sort everything and say, it's just, is it still, has it passed its expiration date or not? And then where does it go? So we actually, limit the amount of food donations that we will take from outside, only because we don't have enough resources to be able to accept and go through all those food donations and stock the shelves and whatever. And there's, what we'll do with a lot of the food that we do get like that is we have what we call specials. Like, we happen to get lots and lots of boxes of, like, pasta mix and rice pilaf and so forth, and that's not something that we typically carry, but we got enough of them that then we were able to say, hey, here's a special, and people could say, oh, that sounds really good, and they could check off that they'd like to get that. But sadly, I know people are incredibly generous in wanting to donate food, but we're a little bit constrained in resources and can't always take food that they want to give us.
But there are groups like the Ladies League up at Kingswood Golf Course. Mm-hmm. They will call us up and say, what is your need this year? And there are a lot of families with young babies. And so we'll say, well, we need Pampers. That's not within the budget of the food pantry. And so those ladies will just go out and they will buy boxes and boxes and boxes of Pampers, and then they're available for the clients when they come in. So, I mean, it's not just food. It's for instance, when everything was short in supply and toilet paper and things like that, they would bring that in, paper towels. So they would call and say, how can we help you? It may be not that the pantry needs food right now, but there are a lot of families that need Pampers, and those are very expensive.
Yes, they are.
So groups like that are able to help us.
How much of the of what you give away is actually bought on the open market? I would assume relatively little.
I would say that probably 20%.
That much?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, so the meat, I would say it could even be higher than that, because we purchase meat, we purchase produce, and there's a program now, New Hampshire Feeds New Hampshire, which is a wonderful program where we go directly to farmers and in New Hampshire, and we'll contract to buy a certain amount of produce from them. The other thing we do, because it's really, of course, things like produce, milk, things like that, you have refrigeration issues,
mm-hmm.
And of course with produce, how long it will last. So we actually give our clients coupons every month that they can use. Hunters here in town has been fantastic about sponsoring this program for us, or administering this program for us, but they can go to Hunters and use the coupons to buy produce and dairy products. And the amount of your coupons depends on the size of the family. And I would say beyond the cost of food, that's probably our coupons usage in a month is like $3,000, I would say. And so that's 10% of our budget right there is going for coupons. And I'd say another 20-25% is purchasing produce, meats, milk, and whatever when we can get it.
And we do, it's not only just the IGA store, it's also Harvest Market, Hannaford's. We try to keep it local.
But this program is only through Hunters.
I know, but other products.
Well, and local farmers we really try to support.
Right. So
that's fantastic. It is 12:34. I new bifocals, still kind of getting used to it. It's 12:34. I'm Eric Scott. Mal Cook and Diana Scott, no relation, are with me today. They are from the Life Ministries Food Pantry. Mr. Cook has been with us before. He is a Rotarian as well, if I remember right. Now, we were talking a little bit earlier. You had mentioned that if people qualify, right. Let's kind of walk through the intake process. Something happens and somebody decides, right. I need some help. What's the next step?
So they would come to the pantry and fill out an application.
Mm-hmm.
And on the application, you have to provide your information about yourself, your address, phone number, email, so we can get in touch with you and let you know, if we're closed because of snow, whatever. And you have to list yourself and everybody in your family, names, birth dates, are you a veteran or not? And then you have to tell us, what assistance you're currently receiving. So somebody who is receiving food stamps, for example, has already been qualified by a state agency. So if we can see that they've been qualified by a state agency, or they live in subsidized housing, so they've qualified through other means, they will be automatically accepted. Having said that, we have to see a copy of that lease that shows that they are living in subsidized housing, or we have to see the letter from the state about the food stamps, or New Hampshire Healthy, New Hampshire Health, I think it is, where you're getting Medicaid. There are a number of different items that would qualify you. And if you, as I said, if you've been qualified by a governmental agency to receive assistance, and we see proof of that, then you're automatically qualified for us. Some people haven't had a chance to, or they haven't yet heard back on their application for fuel assistance, for example, or they haven't yet gotten food stamps. So then they have to qualify by income. And we will ask for current pay stubs. We ask for a copy of a bank statement so we can ensure that there's no income coming in that we can see other than, the pay stub. We take a copy of their driver's license, so we, and if that doesn't have their address on it. We want to see a bill that has their home address on it so we can verify the address. For other members of the family, we ask that they provide a driver's license or a birth certificate. So we're trying to ensure that, you know, well, we're trying to dot our I's and cross our T's, make sure that what people are listing is in fact, you know, legitimate. We give them time to bring that. So the first time you come, we'll take all the information, take the driver's license, copy the driver's license, whatever you have available. We will give food out the first time because you don't know that you need all that information with you. But if they keep coming back and don't bring proof of qualification with them, then we say, look, we really want to help you, but you have to prove to us that you really do need assistance. So, you know, this is the last time. If you don't bring it next time, no more food until you provide us with proof. Not that we're trying to be hard guys, but we also recognize that people are very kindly and generously giving us money. And we have to be prudent in how that money is used and make sure that it's going to people who really are in need, because that's what our donors expect.
Right. Sure. If somebody asked you, okay, I will donate whatever you'd like to the food pantry, would it be cash? Would it be diapers? Would it be anything in particular?
It would be cash.
Cash.
It would be cash because we know by walking through the area where we have everything, you know, stocked, we know where we're short. And we know the first Wednesday of the month, we give out what we call monthlies. So those are things that are kind of staples, you know, flour, sugar, toilet paper, paper towels, cooking oil, mayonnaise, peanut butter, jelly, all, you know, sorts of things that, you know, pretty much everybody needs. And you get to check off what you need. But we can, so we see that area and we'll say, oh, you know, we're running short on this, we're running short on that. We know what we need to buy. We'll walk around the pantry and say, okay, soups, we're a little short on this soup, or we're a little short on cereal, whatever. So we, you know, we do try to get, we do buy diapers when we can get them. If we know that we have clients who have small children and we know that they need help, we'll have diapers. We have Depends because a lot of our clients will need Depends. So things like that, we can say, you know, we're really running short of that. We know that there's a need, and we'll use the money to purchase those.
Now, you said that the local supermarkets have been a tremendous help to you guys.
Oh, yes.
How does that work? Do they call you and they say, you know, hey, we have, a pallet full of bananas?
Well, actually, we just go down there and they have set it out for us.
Okay.
That's the way it used to work. Right. I don't know if it still does. And one of our volunteers would drive down and just pick it up. I mean, we had a wonderful lady who would come all the way from Walmart over in Guilford, and she would pick up. She would fill up her station wagon with food that they had, and she would bring it over to the food pantry.
Yeah. Walmart's been very generous.
Has been very, very generous. And then in the Christmas time, Hannaford's has a program where you can give $5 or so, and they'll have special boxes there. And Life Ministries here will get so many. The Alton Food Pantry will get so many. Guilford will get so many. They do it based on need. Okay. And then we go down there and pick up those boxes and we'll open them up and distribute them to the people. So
Harvest Market is doing something neat too, where they'll have bags made up of different things, you know, might be canned goods or whatever.
Oh, yeah, the stuffing and the mashed potatoes and the cranberry sauce.
And
yeah, like a dinner in a bag kind of thing.
And all, you know, they'll ask people to donate $5, which is certainly far less than the value of the products that are in there.
Right.
And then, you know, then they'll bring the bags to us that they have, quote, sold.
Right.
So, you know, all of the, you know, all of the local supermarkets.
The football team, for instance, they'll have one of the football games. They'll collect food and bring it over.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's
Thanksgiving. I don't know if they still do it, but the high school would always bring down 12 to 15 laundry baskets with the turkey in the center and then all the fixings around.
Mm-hmm.
And these were just young people at the high school who did this on their own. You know, they say, we want to help, and they would bring it down. So,
what are, let's put it another way. If somebody is a client,
mm-hmm.
odds are things are not going well in their life. Something in their life is not going well.
Right.
Let's put it that way. Do you operate, since you, of course, are run by a council of churches, as it were.
Well, I don't want to over. I mean,
well, an association
the church,
of churches.
The churches have people on the board, but not everybody on the board is a church member.
Right.
And so I would say the influence of the churches is maybe oversight, but they really don't meddle. The board actually sits down and says, this is what we want to do, and we're relying on people as individuals, not people as church members.
Okay.
So I just want to, I mean, we appreciate the involvement of the churches,
sure.
but this is people who are making the decisions that they think are appropriate for the community.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Well, that's okay. So my point was, because of all of this, can you also serve as a resource to some of these families for other things that are outside your purview?
Great question. So we don't feel that we're qualified per se to do that. But what we did do, because we're getting questions all the time, how do I apply for fuel assistance? How do I do this? You know, I'm in an abusive relationship. I mean, you can't believe all the, we learn and hear a lot. We've actually put together a resource guide that we have, one of our volunteers, Judy Cole, took the lead on it. It is amazing. And, you know, she talked to the town welfare director. She talked to different social services organizations, to Hope House, whatever. So we put together this whole compendium of, you know, I need fuel assistance. How do I do that? You know, I need an attorney. How can I do that? How can I get dental assistance? And so we give that booklet out to our clients to help them know where to turn.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, we had one case, and this is several years ago. There was a gentleman, and he had a wood-burning stove, but he had no wood. So one of the directors and myself, when we went up, got a whole truck full of wood, took it over to the gentleman because he wasn't going to be able to get oil for 30 days. And so we took the wood over there and stacked it up for him and made sure he had heat in his little house there for, you know, to take care of himself. And this was like in the month of October, and it was pretty chilly. And but he couldn't get his fuel assistance till later on. So we said, sure, we'll be glad to do that. So there are different ways that we can help out. So
what do you do back when we were talking about how 98% of the people are mm-hmm. genuine and helpful and friendly? How do you handle the other 2%?
Gently.
Yes, right.
I was going to say probably carefully.
Yes. You try to be respectful. And, you know, I mean, it's disappointing, but it's not unexpected. You're never going to have everybody, you know, playing fair or whatever. And so I would say that we're fair but firm with those people. You know, we had a situation arise, and you know, I'm very fair, but just don't try to take advantage of me, because I don't personally deal well with that. And this person was trying to take advantage of us, and you know, it took a lot of restraint. And I just said, I'm very sorry, but you know, we can't do that. And if you're not happy with what we're doing here for you, then I suggest you might want to try another food pantry. Okay. Because, you know, it's just, you know, and they ended up coming back, and it's a cordial relationship. It's not, you know, a lot of these clients, you see them and, you know, how are you doing, Isabel? Hey, how are you doing, Judy? Hey, you know, what's up? How was your Thanksgiving? Mm-hmm. And then there are other people, it's like, okay, just be polite, you know, serve them and go on. But again, that is such a significant minority of our clients that, you know, it's not unexpected.
When is the pantry open?
So now, as a result of the pandemic, we are open only the first and third Wednesdays of the month. The first Wednesday, we'll give out 2 weeks of food and these monthly items I talked about, kind of the staples. And the third Wednesday of the month, we will give 2 to 3 weeks worth of food, depending on when the next, you know, the first Wednesday is, and we'll give out vouchers. So, and we're open from 10 until 1 and 4 until 6. Having said that, even though we don't open until 10, we have clients sitting in their cars at 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, waiting for the pantry to open. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like, you know, guys, you know, it's like, nope. They just, you know, this is part of their routine. I think some of them, it's like, ah, peace and quiet for 2 hours. Yeah, right.
But it's not like you're going to run out of food or anything.
No. Well,
but there is, if somebody needed something especially, I mean, I don't know if they still do it, but they would give us a call, and then we would go down there. If for instance, they just came to town.
Right.
And they came in maybe on a Thursday, and we shut down on Wednesday, right? They could go to the local welfare person. They would give us a call and say, can you help these people out?
We'll do emergency food.
So we would go down there and give them a week's supply of food.
Yeah.
So, okay. And we work very well with the young lady that's in charge of the welfare department in Wolfboro, you know. So.
Now, it's town welfare here in New Hampshire, so you're dealing with all of the welfare departments in your area.
Right. So mostly, because we're in Wolfboro, we deal a lot with Amy, who's the town's welfare person. We have some contact with other towns. There are 5 towns that actually contribute money to the pantry. And so those are the towns that we would be most involved with in terms of the social services that they provide.
So you do get grants from, or donations, as it were, from some of the cities and towns.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is the one thing that you'd improve on if you could? Mal, let me start with you. Yeah. You know, you've been around this a few years.
Yeah, I was there for 7 years. I think the big improvement, as far as I was concerned, when I heard that they had that box truck. I mean, you know, there would be 3 or 4 of us drive down to Manchester every weekend to load it into a little truck. And then we had, there was a Rotarian, and I told him, boy, we could use a closed-in trailer. He said, how much? He right then and there, he wrote me a check for $2,500. He said, I want to help the food pantry. And so we were able to use that for a long time. And then they finally get there. As far as the way they handled people, I mean, we are known in probably down at the food bank as probably one of the most efficient food pantries in the state of New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and they, like, when we ran out of, we needed a new freezer, We called them up and said, we need a new freezer. Can you help us? It was within 2 weeks we had a brand new freezer. They sent it up to us. So, but they know, they come in and they inspect every year. They come in once a year and check our facility. They probably still do that,
oh,
right?
Yes.
The New Hampshire,
head of the food bank down there, they come in, make sure that we're doing everything correctly. And so it's hard to say that we need any improvement. The volunteers that we have, I mean, outstanding. We always, whenever there was a need, just pick up the phone. Hey, can you run down here for me? Can you do this for me? And it's always yes. But that's one thing, because I work with the Boat Museum also.
Mm-hmm.
The town of Wolfboro has the greatest volunteers, as far as I'm concerned, in the whole state of New Hampshire. I mean.
So I think if I had to say what improvement could we make, I know a lot of us, probably all of us, would love to see the clients be able to come back inside. And the only way we can do that is to expand. Because with now that we're providing food for 2 weeks, and actually we used to be weekly, and a couple months ago we went out to our clients and said, do you want us to go back to weekly, or do you prefer, you know, the first and third Wednesdays? And I was really surprised, but I think it was almost 90% of them said, we like twice a month, partly because it costs us money to drive there, the gas money, which, you know, we don't think a lot about that,
right.
But
mm-hmm.
But that's a big deal to them. But in order for us to get the clients back inside, we're going to what I'd love to see us do, and I know all the board members feel this way, is to find a way to increase the space that we have available to us for storage, so we can still store all the food that we need to store and have a space for our clients to come in. And, you know, it's honestly, it's easier on the volunteers, but that's not the reason to do it. The reason to do it is the interaction with the clients that I think is so valuable.
Plus the interaction between themselves.
That's
too,
what I mean.
Because
they
were able to meet each other. Maybe right. That the only time they saw each other
right.
was once a week.
Well, that was my point. They interact and they really help each other. They, you know,
they do.
Hey, I had this problem. Oh, this is how I dealt with that. So
yeah.
Could you use more volunteers?
We're always looking for volunteers, especially this time of year, because a large number of our volunteers go to Florida for the winter. So people who are interested in volunteering, if they go on our website, there is a place to click to describe, excuse me, volunteer opportunities. And people can click on that we get an email from them saying, this is what I, you know, this is my availability and this is what I'd like to do. And then Judy Cole, who heads up the volunteers, we'll get back to them and we'll see how we can, you know, how we can make it work.
Okay. What are some of the things that volunteers do for the food pantry?
Okay. So there are a number of things. We have people, we need drivers to drive the truck down to Manchester. When the truck comes back filled with food, we have unloaders, people who are unloaders. Then we have people stocking the shelves. So when the truck comes in on a Tuesday, I mean, there are a whole slew of people
right.
there, because, you know, everybody's quickly working to get the truck unloaded, get things put away. We have on Food Pantry Day, we have people who are taking, if you will, taking orders from the clients, you know, getting their, you know, what it is they want. We have people who we call shoppers, who are actually going around with, if you will, that grocery list, saying, okay, you know, here's how many are in the family, and let's, you know, we fill up the cart and box it and everything. And then we have loaders who carry it out and put it in the client's car. In the meantime, you have someone working in one or two people working who were restocking the shelves, because as the shoppers are pulling stuff off, we need to get more food back on the shelves. So I would say that on a pantry day, we probably have 12 to 15, probably 15 to 18 people working at any point in time for each of the two sessions.
Mm-hmm. That's quite a bit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all ages and,
We all ages, obviously most of us are retired because mm-hmm. we have the time, especially because it's during the day. Younger people really aren't able to help us. Having said that, periodically we'll get, Boy Scouts or young people from the school who are doing social services, and they will come and work with us, for the later session.
How does demand look for Christmas?
We're expecting a big Christmas. It's actually our Christmas food distribution is on the 15th, and we're giving 3 weeks of food vouchers and food
so
for
a
Christmas dinner.
So you need a lot of volunteers.
So actually, we don't need more volunteers because you can also have too many volunteers.
Right, that's true.
So we try to limit it because we can only fill orders so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have two order takers. We have myself and another lady who does kind of the entry and go out, and I spend half my time schmoozing, if you will, with their clients. Just, how are you doing? What, kind of understanding, what's going on, what their needs are, and making sure they feel loved. And then we probably have six to eight people doing the shopping, but we honestly can't fit more people back there because they'd be tripping over each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have three or four men who are doing the loading.
Oh, okay.
So
it sounds like a good problem to have.
Yes, it is. It's a great problem. We're very fortunate to have people that are willing to help, and we do our best to take advantage of their capabilities.
All right. That's quite an organization. The Life Ministries Food Pantry is what we've been talking about today. Mal Cook is here. And Diana Scott is here, the treasurer of the food bank. Folks, I'm glad you came in. I really appreciate it. I know it's not the nicest of days, but on the other hand, we're not freezing our behinds off either.
That's right.
Eric, thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about
great time.
The food pantry. And obviously, it's very near and dear to my heart.
It was great having you. And just a reminder, if you missed the show or missed a piece of it, you can download it for broadcast at WASR.net. Click on podcasts, and you'll be able to hear it. It's 1 o'clock. News is next.